Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
I'm going to look at every possible candidate that I feel like can help us. And we're going to start that process today, this afternoon, and visit with some great coaches. And then we'll see where things go. And
is that's on all three is phases. Is he on the list?
It's a long list.
Yeah,
there's a long list, and I've had a relationship with Josh, and I've had relationships with other offensive coaches and defensive coaches that we're going to interview and want to bring in here.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement from Mike Vrabel.
No.
On Josh McDaniels this morning.
Did not seem like it. Now, sometimes that could be you don't want to like overplay your hand, and you want to say that it's like a process.
Sure.
Like it can be hard to read into, but just based on what it sounded like, sort of the pause, and then sort of throwing him in there with a bunch of other guys. It's tricky in things like this, trying to read between the lines. Plus, we're not as familiar with Vrabel's interviews yet. You know what I mean? Like, in a year from now, we might have a better tell on what Vrabel says.
Yeah, like reading between the lines might be easier to do.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I still feel like that was certainly a maybe. Like, if you had to boil it down to one word, like, McDaniels, maybe.
Well, and we're just guessing, because you're right. We don't have a ton of information on how Mike Vrabel conducts himself in these settings, right? We're just getting to learn him here, and it's the final hour, Jones and Keefe, on WEEI. You got WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. You can listen live on the Odyssey app. We'll still get your grab bag and clip du jour and everything else. My read on it is Vrabel probably knows Kraft wants McDaniels, which makes sense. I mean, Kraft knows Josh McDaniels. He doesn't know Tommy Rees.
I mean, Kraft wanted Mayo and then Vrabel, so who do you think Kraft wants?
Right, and yeah. So... that doesn't make Kraft like a bad guy or anything that he wants Josh McDaniels.
No.
He knows Josh McDaniels.
No.
He probably looks at it and goes, he's been a good offensive coordinator. Maybe he's not head coach material, but the Krafts like him. And so if the Krafts, they're not going to force Mike Vrabel to hire him. I mean, maybe they will. But if I'm reading how Vrabel is answering it, and it's just a guess, Vrabel is answering it to be respectful for Josh McDaniels, but also I don't think he wants to hire him. So he goes, well, yeah. I mean, I have a relationship with Josh, which is what Curran highlighted. Not a good relationship, not a great relationship. I have a relationship with Josh. And Greg asked him directly, is he on the list? He goes, well, yeah, but it's a long list. And so I think that's a way of, I'm going to take the interview with Josh McDaniels. I know him. I know Kraft likes him. I'm going to take the interview, but I have my guys, and McDaniels probably isn't one. And I think, as much as I dislike all the Wolf stuff that Vrabel's brought up, that I found promising because I don't want Josh McDaniels.
If Robert Kraft is truthful to his word, his press conference after they fired Jerod Mayo, and they were talking about the next guy, remember he was kind of all over the place when it came to Elliot Wolf's role, but what he did say pretty clearly was the next head coach will pick his coaches. The players was a much more gray area,
yeah.
But he said straight up like he's going to pick his coaching staff. And then he said something like, have a big say in the players or whatever. And I don't know. It seems like it's trending that way. Because we know, like, at that moment, he knew it was going to be Vrabel. He didn't say. They're actually kind of lucky he probably didn't say. because they still had to play out the process.
They're probably real nervous about it when the guy was like, that's the word.
That's the word. Mike Rabel's the guy. No, yeah, well, there are other guys.
Yeah.
We'll talk about those guys. We'll tweet out those guys. But, no, that's, I guess, how I would view that is Kraft can suggest McDaniels and bring up all these points about how, you know, good he is to work with and all this other stuff. And Vrabel's like, yeah, I know who he is, but I like this guy, and I think he would win that. Because you can't bring Vrabel in, and then the first thing you do before you even get to the draft is don't let him pick his coordinators.
Yeah.
I think he's getting his guys.
I think it's far more likely they'd meddle on personnel than on the coaching staff. I think they're going to make suggestions because, of course, they're like, hey, why don't you take an interview with
Josh? Especially if it's the money is the same.
Yeah.
It might even be less.
Yeah.
If he brings in a guy that has less experience than Josh, he could probably save a few bucks. He'd love it.
That's true. So, man, I don't like how the text line is saying, could you be less unimaginative or less imaginative rather than Josh McDaniels?
No, that is pretty just, so, all right, who worked here before?
And I would highlight it this way. Is Josh McDaniels interviewing anywhere else? Is Josh McDaniels going to get another offensive coordinator job? My answer is no.
Not that I know of.
So, and we'll find out. I mean, if he gets one, then I'm wrong. I don't think he's ever going to be a head coach again. But in the NFL, I don't think he's going to get a job. He might not get an interview. Like, he's available. You don't have to wait for him the same way you didn't have to wait for Vrabel. You could interview him. Same way Bill wasn't under contract. And you could have interviewed Bill. So you could interview Josh McDaniels right now if you're any team out there. Has he taken an interview? Not to my knowledge.
I do not believe so, no.
Is anybody going to give him a job? My guess is no. So if I'm Vrabel, I don't want to be forced into that because I think he's toxic. I think he's viewed as toxic. I mean, I don't know him, but I think he's viewed as toxic. So here are the names that Reese put out for offensive coordinators, and my guess is this is something approximating their shortlist.
All right, what do you got?
He's got Tommy Reese, who we've mentioned a ton.
Yeah, so he's the...
He was the Browns pass game coordinator and tight ends coach. He has... he was a college quarterback at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He was Alabama's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach prior to getting the job last year in Cleveland. Him and Vrabel overlapped while Vrabel was an analyst last year in Cleveland.
I know they didn't have a ton to work with, but that's the worst offense in football.
Would not be bending over to go grab people from that offense.
No.
Okay? So Tommy Reese is the name. Tim Kelly, he's the Giants tight ends coach. Terrible offense this year as well.
Mark Bavaro's coach? Who was their tight end? Who the hell they even
Theo
have this year?
Johnson before he
Theo
got hurt?
Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger.
There you go.
I mean,
you could tell who's in a
real household.
You could tell who's in a dynasty league.
Guess who owned Theo Johnson?
Yeah, that's a deep league dynasty owner right there. Tim Kelly was the play caller in Tennessee, I think, Vrabel's final year. He was with Vrabel while Vrabel was a coordinator with the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a name that's come up. Josh McDaniels, who we all know. And then one that I find intriguing. He might not be ready to be a coordinator, for all I know. But this name I find intriguing. Dave Ragone, Rams quarterbacks coach. So he would take a promotion to be an OC. He worked for Vrabel in Tennessee, 18-20. Where he was on staff there underneath Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, college quarterback at Louisville, and he was with Sean McVay this past year. Like, that to me is the most interesting name on the list, but I'd expect one of those four to get the job.
I am most intrigued by the last name like you are, and when you say coached with Sean McVay, I still think that holds a lot of weight. These offensive guys, specifically, if they coach with Sean McVay. Sean McVay, by the way, in the divisional round once again with the win last night, so I think that one intrigues me more than anything else. I mean, hell, even Nick Cayley's on that staff now. So if you want to talk about something that maybe bridges both worlds, a guy that Robert Kraft's familiar with, a guy that, you know, was in New England for a while but also branched out and coached under Sean McVay.
And Cayley already told him to go screw last year, right? He wanted more money. They wouldn't give it to him. That's because Bill screwed him over and hired Patricia and Judge in
his
place.
Who knows? Maybe that bridge is burned.
Maybe that's a poisoned well. I find it noteworthy, too. Reese didn't suggest rather the name Josh McCown. That's
so
not
here's the one thing, and Kern brought this up, and I think we've brought this up in the past. If you bring in one of the positives to Josh McDaniels, who is not my favorite either, is if you sign him to a 5-year deal, even if Drake May is the MVP of the league next year, my guess is Josh McDaniels is here for all 5 years. Whereas if you bring in Dave Ragone and he lights it up and Drake May has this monster year, like Patrick Mahomes year two, like just kills it. Somebody's probably plucking him. Now, okay, you got Drake May. Like, he's so good. Like, you got what you wanted out of him. But then you're going to have your sixth offensive coordinator in 6 years. I'm not saying that's the reason not to hire a guy that hasn't had the experience
but it's
yet.
Something but to consider.
There is the thought that, you know, a young gun guy especially working with Drake May, they'll say, well, this is what we need. This is what we need. And then if they want to, they become a head coach in a year or two. I mean, Bobby Slowick didn't leave, but even after 1 year.
And Ben Johnson didn't leave after
Ben Johnson didn't leave. That's true.
Year in Detroit.
Now, he could. Slowick maybe could. Now, Slowick didn't have as good of a year this year, but after 1 year and C.J. Stroud being the MVP, Slowick at least took a bunch of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that part of it. I don't think that should be the reason why you don't do it. You just want to have the best team and the best everything, like, and go from there. And you assume you have Vrabel here for a while. He's worked with multiple offensive coordinators in his past, whether it was Matt LaFleur or Arthur Smith or Tim Kelly. Like, he's already done that. He's experienced that. It's not like he's relying on the same guys all the time.
So to me, it's something to consider, that you don't want to lose a guy in a year. I mean, I agree with that. I'd rather keep him for a couple of years. But the main reason to hire your OC is because no one else wants him and he won't go anywhere?
Yeah, no, like, that shouldn't be the only thing.
That's not a good reason to me. Now, one thing I will say, and this is being pointed out on the text line,
yes,
it's inconsistent to say we need experience, we need guys who have done it, Mike Vrabel over Ben Johnson, for instance. That's why they valued Mike Vrabel. And then turn around and bring in a first-time OC. So, like in
well,
other words...
Well, so this is what I would say.
Like,
I,
Tommy Reese
I get
or
the point.
Ragone?
Yeah.
Like, that would be inconsistent because you put all this premium on experience, and now you're hiring an inexperienced coordinator. It's different than a head coach.
So yes, it is. But how I would view it is, last year when you had Gerard Mayo, he needed experienced coordinators, didn't give them to him. Now you have an experienced head coach. The experienced coordinators aren't as important to me because you have a guy that's going to run the whole operation. So you can, like, you can now develop really good coordinators under Mike Vrabel. I think they're going to have a good guy to lean on. Whereas last year, you didn't have any real coaching leadership, and then that trickled down to the players, and you didn't have any real player leadership. So you can, like, you don't need three 20-year vet coaches or three rookie coaches. Like, you probably want some sort of combination.
Some sort of blend.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I just think that is, I mean, I'd lean into the unknown versus the known of Tim Kelly or Josh McDaniels, but it does feel a little inconsistent to put a premium on experience and then hire Tommy Reese, who's in his 30s and has never done it as a coordinator. That does feel a touch inconsistent. When it comes to Mike Vrabel and his impact this year, where do you think the Patriots feel the biggest impact in year one?
Probably just like the nonsense. I feel like just having a better grip of everything, whether it's hopefully less penalties, right? The offensive line was just like a turnstile. Like, I don't know how to quantify it. I don't know what stat it would be, but just like a more professional team. Like, there were times this year where we would talk about them on Monday and it would trickle into like off-field stuff and some of the, you know, locker room media availability when players would put their foot in their mouth and players would say dumb stuff. But just even on the field, there were times you're like, oh my God, like this is a pro football team. It didn't feel like it for much of the year. I think because they're not going to be able to all of a sudden get 53 amazing players, but I think they'll at least get guys that look like, you know, they're on an NFL team.
I also think it's going to be consistent. Maybe we're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mayo, it felt like some weeks we didn't really know if he was going to be aggressive or conservative. Are you going to go for two? Are you going to go for it on fourth down? Like, I think very early on, and I think Vrabel's going to skew conservative.
Yeah,
but which
but
I don't
be consistent.
Which I don't love, but yeah. Right. But he will be consistent, and I think you'll go in, and the players will know. All right, it's fourth and two. We're probably not going for it, even on the plus side of the field. And we're down 8. We're down 15, whatever the situation was against Jacksonville. We're probably not going to go for two there. And I think you're going to learn some of that with Vrabel early, and I think it'll be consistent. I think he'll be consistent in sending messages to the players. He's not going to come out and say, and I don't know really how many coaches would do this, so how much of a win is it really for him, we're going to bench Ramondre Stevenson, and then Ramondre Stevenson starts. I think it's going to
be... Yeah, you won't have that stuff.
It's going to be consistent messaging. It's going to be consistent, I think, from a scheme standpoint. It's going to be consistent from aggressive versus conservative. I think you're going to get that, and I do think the organization needs that. Now, a rookie head coach could give you consistency. Ben Johnson may have been able to give you consistency. I think with Vrabel, you can expect it. And I think you'll get that impact right away in year one. Curran brought up the comment when we talked to him last hour. We got to be good enough to take advantage of bad football.
There's a lot of bad football.
They were
a big part of it last year. The team was.
That is telling.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we shouldn't be losing to the Tennessees of the world. We should be able to take advantage of Mason Rudolph and the Tennessee Titans in bad football. We should be able to do that. Can we even do that? And if they can, maybe some of the one-score losses turn into one-score wins and you turn your season around.
Yeah, and nobody's saying you go from 2-6 in one score losses to 6-2. Like, that'd be a pretty jarring flip. But if you start squeezing a couple more of those games out, like, I kind of fully expect them to be close to 500 next year. I do. And that's even before they've added talent, which I feel like they have to do. You know, they have the fourth pick in the draft. I don't know how much money they're going to spend, but I feel like they're going to have to spend some of it. But just having a much more buttoned-up operation and, you know, hopefully 17 games of Drake May instead of 12 games or whatever it ended up being. Like, I think that all helps.
Yeah. I mean, the concern is, does he get himself hurt?
Does he get
hurt?
Through? Yeah, no, I know. That's a valid question.
And does he get himself hurt? Again, the offensive line did not get Drake May hurt last year. When May left two games, the Jets game and then the Chargers game, which he returned in, he got himself hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, that would be my fear. But I don't think they're going to get him killed out there like a lot of people feared last year. Kelly is in Amherst. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, yeah, just a reminder, I was the tanking guy. And so my synopsis on the season is it went good. Fourth pick is pretty good. And that's, you know, second round, third round, fourth round. We're picking at the top of those rounds. We're talking about coaches here, who to bring in. You guys know better than me, but I'm going to say I don't really feel like I want Josh McDaniels. I feel like that would kind of be like you're trying to go backwards, like you're trying to recapture the past. You know, Tom Brady is not walking through that door. And I will say I like the idea of getting a guy who's going to stick around. You don't want a guy who might leave in a year or two. I like that idea. But, Keith, if you are really worried about Drake May turning into Patrick Mahomes, I think you said, don't be worried. That's not going to happen.
All right, well, that may not happen. But also, trust me, I'll take the coordinator for 1 or 2 years, and then he becomes a hot commodity. But the reason he's a hot commodity is because he's turned Drake May into a top five quarterback.
Well, but
so then I'll take my chances with him being good with the next guy.
Yeah, and I think a good analogy is Buffalo. Not only because Drake May, a really, really, really high-end comp for Drake May is Josh Allen, mm-hmm. but it's a defensive coach, and they have kind of burned through coordinators, right? Are they on their third coordinator with Josh Allen? Is it four?
I think it's at least three, because Dayball sort of developed them.
Dorsey.
And then now Joe Brady.
Brady.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to be on to another one. And maybe there was one early in his career. Was Dayball his first coordinator? I don't remember.
Dayball, I think, was. Yeah.
Okay, so fine. So he's going to be on to his fourth, I'd imagine, if Brady gets a job. And it's at least three. Yeah, I mean, then if Drake May turns into what we think he can turn into, then a really talented quarterback can weather the storm. Now, they had to blow out Dorsey because he wasn't good at it. And Allen's numbers suffered to a degree. But I'm less fearful of that. I'm not going to ignore it. It's something to consider. But I'm less fearful of that. If in another year, because your offense was so good, you have to turn around and hire another offensive coordinator, which I think is a misnomer.
Right.
I think, again, it's a misnomer. Ben Johnson has been in Detroit now for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it's been, as the
play
OC.
Caller for 3 years.
Okay, so 3 years.
Yeah.
That's the best play caller in the sport.
Yeah.
He didn't leave after 1 year.
No, he did ask for like $20 million or something.
Okay.
But yeah.
But maybe that's what your guy will do. Like, I don't know. So
are you going to give it to him?
You brought up Bobby Slowik.
Yeah.
So those are guys who they were really hot commodities and they came back. So I think, one, it's a misnomer, and two, it's not a huge concern of mine.
No, it shouldn't be the reason.
Ideally, you have Drake May and the same offensive coordinator for the rest of his career, and they're really good and they never go anywhere. That's not how it works. Usually you get stuck with a guy who sucks. 617-779-7937. You could jump in on all our thoughts today on Mike Vrabel, his appearance on the Greg Hill Show today, which I thought was very interesting. If you missed it, Odyssey app and on YouTube. You got WEEI Afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. We'll get to our clip du jour, and right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Russians don't take a dump sign without a grab bag.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Time for Grab Back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and we'll start with this, Jones. We have a big game tonight. Big game at the Garden. My Bruins taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is a huge game for the Bees in all seriousness because kind of where they're at, I know they snapped their losing streak on Saturday, but Tampa Bay is ahead of them now in the standings, and they've played four fewer games, and they're still ahead of them in the standings. So you can't let them get that much further ahead. Right now the Bees are fighting with wild card teams right now. So Bruins and Lightning tonight, and a lot of news today as well. Charlie McAvoy lands on IR, Kastelic on IR, the Hampus Lindholm on long-term IR.
Which is weird because he's been out for a long time. Yeah. It's probably just cap maneuvering, but it's still weird that they would just put him on LTIR now, as opposed to some of the other names that they had to throw on there today. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, McAvoy, even if you're without him for a couple of games, huge game against Tampa.
Yeah.
They did get 2 points. They almost blew it. But they did get 2 points over the weekend against Florida, just when you think maybe there's a bit of momentum. In a game where Swayman really did, it's the closest thing all year to Swayman standing on his head. Mm-hmm. He gave up 3 goals in that game. There was a late goal that they allowed with the extra attacker out there. But it was the closest thing Swayman's had this year to standing on his head. They get a win. Pastrnak and Marchand are both involved in it. They're all mad at you and
they're
fired up, Keith.
They're all steaming at me.
And now they place a bunch of guys on IR and LTIR. Yeah, you wonder if this is a good situation for them. It doesn't feel that way tonight.
It does not.
But the whole thing with them has been bad. And
a lot would call this, I think Razors called these games like scheduled losses. The first home game after a long road trip. There's a lot of scheduled losses in hockey.
Yeah.
Remember talking to Claude Julien? Remember everything was a loss.
Well, a long road trip. You don't want a long road trip, but you also don't want to come home after a
last
long
game
road
of the road trip. First home game after
first game of homestand. You're looking ahead at the end of a homestand before a road trip.
You could drop any one of those.
There's a lot of scheduled losses in there. Yeah. But I will say, the more I think about your scoop on Friday.
People hate it.
Well, we've been saying, you and I have been saying all year long that we don't think the roster is as bad as they're playing. Like, I don't think it's a perfect roster by any
means. No, they're just all underperforming.
And so that your scoop really helps to highlight that. Why are they underperforming? Maybe they all hate each other.
Perhaps.
This guy can go pound sand, go back to the
grab bag
where no one knew where he was before, and report on nothing because that's what he's going to be doing after this.
How dare you? I'm still reporting on the grab bag, which rolls on. How about my guy, Bo Nix? I believed in Bo Nix, and turns out he was playing with back fractures this year.
Here we go.
He had back fractures. This is also a classic Bruins thing at the end of the year. Well, we're all hurt. Everyone else is hurt.
That's hockey. I like to refer to that as excuse day. At the end of the year, you get to find out why everybody has a big, giant excuse.
Yeah. They were all super hurt.
Is he going to get a surgery?
I don't know.
Or is one of those things just kind of heals on its own?
He gutted through it. I think a lesser man would have been down, but Bo Nix played, I think it was week 12 he hurt this thing, like around Thanksgiving. And then played the rest of the year with back fractures. Man, that's painful. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah. Well, he's a warrior.
He gutted it out, though.
He's a real man's man. I don't.
You're not
give him a ton of
insanely
excuse.
Impressed with that?
No.
That's actually pretty impressive for how old he is.
Yeah. It's a good point. He's an old man. That's true.
An old dude, yeah.
Yeah, the transfer. Yeah. I think a lot of guys have played with that transverse process. Didn't Romo play through it? I think people have played
Romo
through
also
it.
One of the tough guys in our business. Yeah.
Grab bag. Grab bag. Grab bag. Grab bag.
Caitlin Clark. I don't know if you followed this story at all. She had a stalker.
Some people have, I'm
well, I guess alleged stalker.
Yeah.
But they got this guy. They got their man. He was held on $50,000 bail at hearing. And so according to this story, Michael Lewis, who was arrested on a felony charge for allegedly stalking Caitlin Clark, appeared in court Tuesday and immediately was rebuked by the judge for talking.
Oh, boy.
When he entered the courtroom at Marion County Superior Court, Lewis sat back in his chair and said, quote, guilty as charged. And he interrupted the court's proceedings multiple times.
He's like that cop. He's just like, you got me. I'm guilty. I'm guilty as all get out.
There's an unbelievable court, like in a real life court thing where a guy was going back and forth with a judge down in Georgia. And then Rick and Morty redid it. You know, the cartoon Rick and Morty? They did it, and it was just the two of them. And they're reading the transcript, but in those voices back and forth. It's like the most outrageous thing you've ever heard. But anyway, so then the judge, Angela Davis, said, quote, you have a right to remain silent. I expect you to exercise that on me. She told him to, quote, stop talking. And I guess he's not doing that.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
This is, yeah. That's
Davis like, entered a
Giuliani, right? Giuliani's been reprimanded a bunch in court recently as
yes,
well. Yeah.
Yes. Davis entered a not guilty plea on Lewis's behalf, stating,
not guilty.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. He just says he's guilty as charged.
What?
Get him out of there. Stating that she wouldn't accept a guilty plea at an initial hearing. She assigned public defender, blah, 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 to the case.
I see.
Lewis was ordered on $50,000 bail, and Davis ordered him to stay away from the Indianapolis basketball arena where Clark and the Fever play their home games and not have any contact with Clark.
Yeah.
Lewis could face up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's trending that way, which, I mean, if you're Caitlin Clark, scary story. But
yeah,
it's an interesting approach from that guy in court.
There's a lot of weirdos out there. Yeah.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
Oh yeah, good tail on that one.
Nice. Jimmy Butler reiterated to Pat Riley in a face-to-face meeting last week that he wants to be traded. So Jimmy Butler's trying to force his way out. The Heat originally told him, not so fast, my friend. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I want to be traded. He's also in the news because his, I guess, ex-girlfriend, who he has three children with, is trying to get more money out of him.
Oh, I heard Greg.
So there's a lot going on with Jimmy Butler right now.
I heard the Greg Hill Show talking about this today. Do you remember who initially had the scoop that Jimmy Butler wanted out, Keefe?
Rich Keefe.
No.
Oh, sorry.
It was Shams.
Oh, right.
And Shams was shouted down and reprimanded strongly, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Huh. Turns out the insider was right.
Weird.
Despite everybody coming out very strongly against Shams, turns out he was right. Interesting.
Very, very strange.
Okay.
Well, but anyway, do you think Jimmy Butler gets traded before the deadline?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he kind of has to at this point.
Yeah, I don't know where. I mean, Riley might. We talked about this before. Pat Riley may really just trade him somewhere where he doesn't want to go.
Yeah,
and true. You know, trade him somewhere where he's borderline irrelevant. I mean, that could happen. But yeah, I could see him getting traded. Just call my
name and I'll grab bag.
That might be the best one. Roki Sasaki, the Japanese pitching phenom, has narrowed down his list of teams.
Oh, good.
The Dodgers.
Okay.
The Padres.
Sure.
And the Blue Jays.
That
ends the list.
That's it?
It was funny. Yesterday, the story was Yankees and Mets no longer in pursuit. And you're like, so Red Sox then? Like, no. They're going to finish sixth at best in this.
No.
Probably not even really.
Behind the Blue Jays.
They're going to DNF. Were they even involved?
Yeah, maybe they weren't.
So him going to the Dodgers or the Padres, fine. You know, you're on the West Coast. It's the closest to Japan. That's fine.
Well, don't you think he's going to go play with Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto and the Dodgers everybody else?
But why are the Blue Jays? You couldn't even be a finalist? Why are the Blue Jays a finalist? Why aren't you in the mix at all? I mean, I know why, but, like, that's annoying.
Oh, the Blue Jays are often a finalist. Like, I don't know if their fans have the same kind of hate as the Red Sox. I think the expectation's higher here only because the Red Sox used to spend big money on players. The Blue Jays were, like, used in that Ohtani thing.
Big
like
time.
They're, like, involved in all of these names, but they don't land anybody either.
Yeah, maybe they're the interest kings.
They might be.
Maybe the Blue Jays.
Get our name out there.
Yeah, maybe
like,
they
why?
Are.
You're not doing anything. Your team's just kind of just there. All right.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
Celtics back in action tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, long tease.
That's a long tease. I was just going to say, they haven't been playing great.
No.
And our guy Terp will be in with us tomorrow to discuss what is going on with the Boston Celtics. Is it just complacency or is it something more?
Well,
more at 11.
It's the second time that Mazzulla's come out and kind of called the players out. Even after, or was it going into the New Orleans? I'm trying to remember now. Maybe it was coming out of the Kings game.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's the second time that he's kind of called them out this year. And so you can't talk all offseason, as I did, about the one thing that could do them in, independent of injuries, which can do in anybody, is complacency. They went out, they won it all, no one believed in them. You know, they could shove everybody's, or shove it in everybody's face, rub everybody's nose in it.
Yep.
and then turn around and they're complacent and go, well, I'm not worried about that at all. Like, we all acknowledge in the offseason, aside from injuries, the biggest red flag for them potentially was complacency. Now they're complacent and we're supposed to be like, well, they're just complacent. We all get why they're complacent. They're just complacent. It's the thing we said to fear with them.
Right.
And they're doing it right when we thought they'd do it.
It also seems like they play better when somebody's missing. It's like when everybody's together, they're not as good. You're like, well, that shouldn't be.
Right.
That shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. I actually heard Mego talking about this with Greg last week, I think. It's like now they get everybody back and that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's
like, oh, they haven't had their full lineup. So that's a problem now.
Now they're like way more talented than everybody. Yeah. I don't know. They gotta figure that out.
The 3-point thing is really blowing up on them too. Because they have shot like crap for a while now, which means they could
even
shoot like
Tatum after the other night was saying something about like, man, maybe we need to like. No, he didn't say settle for threes, but he made some comment where it's the first time I've really heard somebody say something like, maybe we need to go away from what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out like gangbusters to start the year. The threes have really dropped off.
Yeah.
And yeah, that means you can go cold for a series if you can do it for a couple of months now.
Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag.
Best NBA performers from last night, Jones. There were 6 games, and we have 5 top performers for you. Jalen Green, 42 points for the Rockets. Anthony Edwards had 41 points, 6 boards, 7 assists. Anthony Davis, a 30-13 game. Tyler Hero, 32-11-7. And Norman Powell, 29-6.
You know what? I came into this expecting to go with Anthony Edwards, but I was unaware of that performance from Jalen Green. Let's give it to Jalen Green.
Don't sleep on that Jalen Green game.
Good win over Memphis. Memphis is good. Good win. Yep.
Nice win.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right. I'm talking about an outfielder who had a lefty stick. Lefty arm.
Good.
He tossed it in from the outfield via the left hand. He would also bat in the left-hander's batter's box.
Now I can picture him.
He was a zero-time All-Star. He cracked into the majors in 1989. His last game was following the 2001 season.
Okay.
Played for 4 teams in his major league career. Atlanta, Cincinnati, New York, and San Francisco.
Which New York?
Yankees. Very good question. Very fair question. I'll allow it. His rookie year actually was with the Yankees, and then his last season in baseball was with the Reds. He would not sock you a dinger, but 1 year, 1997 to be exact, 56 stolen bases.
Wow, that's nice.
I would swipe you a bag.
Give me the order of teams, Yankees, then Braves?
Now the thing's going crazy. Yankees, Braves... And then somewhere in there, San Francisco, and then ended with Cincinnati.
56 steals.
56 bags stolen.
No All-Stars. 89 to 2001.
I was going to double-check the years again.
Yeah.
89 to 2001.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, first year was 89.
Oh.
Last year was 2001.
Brett Butler.
No.
Was that his name?
Brett Butler. Yeah. Not to be confused with the comedian Brett Butler.
Correct.
Grace Under Fire?
Correct.
That was the
random
show
TV
for
show.
Sure.
Not playing random TV.
Random TV show.
He played for the Dodgers.
She had
too,
a great
right?
voice.
Yeah.
There were some allegations about her and workplace. Perhaps she wasn't the best person to work with.
A little bit of a battle axe?
An Ellen.
Listen, I don't know.
She was an Ellen is what she was.
Yeah. Got some it. Maybe things that were inappropriate. Yeah, something I read. It could be wrong. But let's just leave it at that with Brett Butler.
You said not an All-Star?
Never an All-Star.
Not one time.
Finishing 0-1 with who?
0-1.
With the Reds.
Reds finished with the Reds. Career 263 hitter, 7-11 OPS.
Yeah, that all
big steal guy. 1992 led the league in triples with 14 for the Braves.
Oh, you should have led with that.
Yeah.
So he's on the 92 Braves.
How about this? Anybody get this?
And he's stealing 56 bags.
Oh, yeah. People got it.
People got it?
Yeah.
I haven't looked.
I was going to give you like an over-the-top clue, but I'm not gonna do that because people have already gotten it.
Okay. Let's see. Roberto Kelly?
Ooh, good guess. No, not Roberto Kelly.
Luis Polonia.
Not Luis Polonia. Randy Poffo,
which is duh.
The Macho Man Randy Savage.
Wait, I see it. Dion?
He got it!
Dion. That's a, you know what?
Dion Sanders.
Good one.
Yeah. 56 steals.
He sold 56 bags.
The giveaway was like between 98 and 2000, he didn't play baseball because he was playing football. Like Bo Jackson.
Brian Jordan.
Yeah, Brian Jordan.
Yeah.
Deion, 56 steals one year.
And he's very much in the news today. A very topical yes. random baseball player.
How do you like that?
Right there. I'm the Deion guy, too. Under my nose.
Right there.
Damn it.
I thought the teams... But the fact that he played for the Giants is like a weird throw off. I never remember him with the Giants.
I
remember Braves, Yankees,
I was aware
and
of
Reds.
The, I'll be honest, I don't remember him on the Yankees,
but I'm
aware of him on the Yankees. I feel like I do kind of remember the
Yankees,
Reds.
Yankees, Braves, I remember.
Giants, I don't remember at all.
Reds was at the end. So like he played with them, and then he like sneaky retired, and then he came back also with them. So I remember that, but yeah.
Maybe like a pick six and an inside the park home run in the same day.
That sounds
have some
right.
kind of wild stat like that?
That sounds right. I think there was like a mini documentary.
No, there was.
On
I think
Bo Jackson hit like three home runs at that game that he hit the inside the park home run.
Man.
Good what fact.
Those
good
guys.
Factoids.
Between our Deion factoids and our Brett Butler information.
I mean. So Travis Hunter can't play wideout and corner, but Deion can play center field and corner and kick returner and wideout. Like, please.
Yeah, please.
In multiple pro sports.
And coach the Cowboys, apparently.
Please. Doing it all.
By the way, Nick, what'd you say in our ear? We have an update on
Tommy Reese,
offensive coordinator candidates.
He has been promoted to offensive coordinator of the Browns. He's staying in Cleveland.
Okay.
So it won't be Tommy Reese. Hmm. So they're keeping Stefanski through all this, huh?
Well, and also, he's not going to be calling plays there.
No, they got Stefanski.
So it doesn't sound like the Patriots had any real interest in him is how I would read into that.
Yeah,
Not only is he staying, it's like, oh, the Patriots can't get him. He's staying somewhere where he's not even going to call plays. So that tells me,
cross him off.
The Patriots weren't even that interested.
Fine with me.
So what does that mean? McDaniels?
No, not necessarily. Dave Ragone.
Tim Kelly.
Or Ragone.
That's what I thought it was. It's not Ragone?
I thought it was Dave Ragone. Like, when he played in college, I remember calling him Dave Ragone.
You know what I love?
What do I know?
A crab Ragone is what I love. Those are delicious.
Yeah, good
get a nice one. Okay, 617-779-7937. That's the grab bag and our random baseball player of the day. Each and every day, I'm sure our Camden Hart have more on this coming up in WEEI Afternoons, and we'll get you our clip
Ragone. Ragone.
Ragone.
Ragone.
That's next.
All right, back at Jones and Keith, time for our clip du jour. Jones, ready for that?
Sounds great. What's the clip
to draw? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today it is part of our interview with Tom E. Curran. Elliot Wolf's name has been brought up quite a bit from Mike Vrabel over the last couple of days. So we were asking him, how is that dynamic going to work and who, in fact, will have final say?
My understanding and belief is that Mike Vrabel will have final say. Elliot Wolf is in a support role. Even though the title says that he will be over Ryan Cowden, I don't know exactly the landscape there, how that will flesh out, but from everything I've been told and from everything that has been indicated so far, Elliot wants to be in a support role. He doesn't want to run herd on the personnel department. I'm not saying he's going to recede into the background entirely, but I think that his job safety and his short and long-term future are attached to his ability to say, hey, I want to help Mike. I don't want to argue with Mike. I want to find out what Mike wants and get that for him. So that's why I think Elliot Wolf is not going to be somebody who is, you know, unless all the indications that we're being given, I haven't been told this, but I don't think Elliot Wolf is here till April and then gone after the draft.
All right. So it's sort of like, you know, without –
the last part I didn't love,
but
most of that I actually felt okay
about. But if Mike Vrabel is making all the big decisions, then like I'm not as upset that Elliot Wolf is still here. You know, it's still kind of maybe a little strange, but if he's bringing in his own guy and then Wolf is just one of many that is sort of taking a larger pool of whether it be draft prospects or free agents and then kind of whittling that down for Vrabel to decide on, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
No, look, I mean, that's encouraging. Now, you know, it's different than what Charles Robinson and Mike Garofolo and whom else? Burt Breer, even Phil are saying. But maybe there's a way to middle it. Like this has been brought up. Text line brought this up. Maybe this is their way of circumventing the Rooney rule again because they love doing that. So you bring in Cowden, you keep Elliot Wolf in place. You don't have to do a full search. So maybe there's some of that going on. WEEI Afternoons, you got Hart, you got Arcam. What's coming up today, Hart?
So we got a big show announcement at 3. Massive announcement.
3 a o'clock sharp. Announcement at 3.
3 o'clock.
Wow. Okay.
Make sure your ears are hears.
Okay.
To find out what the hell's going on there. And we'll be continuing a lot of this Mike Vrabel talk, obviously. Hopefully, maybe we'll have some smoke or something from the coordinator interviews, which he alluded to a couple of those happening this afternoon.
You see this? Reese is staying in Cleveland. That just came out.
Yeah, I'm glad. I want no part of him. I had no interest. We'll do that. I know Arcand has some strong thoughts on the coordinator depth chart or picking list. I mean, clearly in that answer this morning with the Greg Hill Show, and we'll be breaking down a lot of what he said, including what he said with Curran yesterday, that I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to. Has anybody been paying attention?
We might have.
Okay, so what did you think was the most interesting thing he told Tom Curran yesterday?
The excuse making for Wolf, the lack
what was that?
The lack of investment or whatever
it was.
Get it.
Chance
to spend, basically.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
That, like, that struck a nerve with me, and I was trying to formulate takes and responses, and I'm like, is that an excuse, like you said?
Kind
of. Is it an explanation? Is it part of their little inside joke that he referenced when he said we need good players?
How do we get those?
Are these guys the new Thunder buddies?
Maybe. Were they tanking and that's why he couldn't invest? Is he talking about players? Because that's the other question I had. He said investment in personnel. Was he talking about player personnel, the department, or the players?
I'll tell you what Curran said to us is that he didn't have the investment, meaning time. Which I don't buy. Maybe that's the excuse coming out of there, but I don't buy that.
I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. You had months before.
And that's lamer than any of the other things I was thinking about based off that comment. Anyway, though, we'll keep talking about that because I have to thank Josh McDaniels' interview today. The guy who lives down the street, if you're going to start interviews on your first full day on the job, would seem to make sense. And maybe.
Might just bump into him at like the Dunkin' or something.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. And then maybe Alex Van Pelt, who's the holdover, would you interview him, whether it's for the job or the
QB give him
job?
A head start on what he's doing next.
So, I thought of this, though, when I recorded a podcast, Six Rings, with Fitzy earlier. This is as excited as I've been about the Patriots in a while.
Really?
Not going to lie.
Wow.
I'm like Honk Andy, little gullible Andy, they call me on the afternoon
Even
Twitch
more
chat.
So than the draft last year? Like,
yeah, I think
the
so.
Draft, leading into the draft last year was fun. We didn't know.
I have May. I have Gonzo, and, the Toyota spokesman, and I have Mike Vrabel.
Fourth pick.
And I'm a Hardo, and there's a Hardo now running the organization, but a modern Hardo.
Like
have
modern
you noticed
Hardo.
How he's blended all those?
He is a bit of everything.
I'm going to listen with intent to hear, not like, intent to respond. It's like it's a little bit of Mayo crap. He throws a little bit of
some,
that new
not,
age Mayo crap.
Yeah,
but
not
then with
too
a,
much, though.
No. Just the right amount.
Yeah, just enough to stomach
it's like
it.
Mayo. But I'm talking about the condiment, not the coach.
Yeah, you don't want too much.
Too
of
much
it.
Mayo, and you're like, what
talking
is
about people,
mayo?
Right?
Talking about people. Yeah. So, Arcand, we got that. I don't know, host one. I know you like to chime in on these things. What else you got?
I don't know. It's like 157. We got to get the show on the road, don't we?
But let's be go. Here for three.
Okay.
Or I mean, you can be here for
stay,
two.
Stay here until three.
Don't skip the
have
first.
The, have the radio on. Big show announcement from WEI Afternoons. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. If you're in the mood for a warm, hearty meal, you can visit the 99 Restaurant. Try their home style chicken pot pie, freshly baked to order and topped with a buttery, flaky crust. Or try their new double barbecue turkey tips. You gotta love the 9. Stay tuned. You got Arcand, you got Hart. We're back tomorrow on a Would You Rather Wednesday at 10 here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.